Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are on the broadcast today, coming live from a Blog Talk Radio show. And so we are here to finish up this series, trying to get it finished. And got the other list coming and other topics coming. But we're so thankful to God to be here. We thank you for all of those that are on the broadcast that will be calling in, those that will be logging in, and those that will even listen to the broadcast later. We thank you for each and every one of you. Our endeavor is to reach those souls and to teach a foundational teaching so that people will be blessed and that people will be able to know who God is and be able to stand on a sure foundation. And so that is our endeavor when we're teaching these classes. So we thank God for the opportunity. And today we're going to talk about a sound that reaches heaven. It's because that is what we really want. We want our prayers. We want our confessions. And we want those things and the things that we are speaking on our life to be a sound that reaches to God. And that God will begin to answer us. And that he will begin to hear us and he'll begin to answer us. So that is what we're talking about. We've been talking about what we're saying, what comes out of our mouth, you know, and how we are to the word that and that our words have power, and that how that we need to be careful about what we are speaking over our lives. It is about what you say, and so that is the thing that we got to get allow the Holy Spirit to get under control in our lives, so that we can speak the right thing. And that we will be able to speak the things that God is saying for us to speak. God has many precious promises that he has spoken for us and that he has given us and that he has for us. But in order for us to obtain those things, we have got to begin to speak what God speaks. We have got to begin to send a sound to heaven that will reach him, that he will manifest his promises in our life, and that he will begin to shower those things, those blessings down upon us. Let us do a quick prayer before we start. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today. I thank you for mercy, and I thank you for grace. I thank you for the joy of the Lord being our strength. Lord, we ask you, Lord, that this word would fall on good ground, and that those that hear it will be blessed by it, oh God, and that they will not only be hearers of your word, but they'll be doers of your word also. And, Lord, they not only will have faith, but they'll have works with it, Father. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we will be a willing and obedient, and that we will begin to live the life and speak the things that you would have us to speak, so that we can live the life that you have promised us in Jesus' name. You said in your word that, in thee we will have peace. We might in this world have tribulation, but you said to be of good cheer, for we have already overcome the world. So we ask you, Lord, just to touch us today, receive your word with gladness, and be willing to do all that it is said for us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. I thank God for each and every one that will be watching us today, those that will be logging on the broadcast, and those that will call in. Today I have other people that call in and participate on the broadcast. They usually run a little bit late, but anyway, they get on here. So I'm going on in Jesus' name. But I thank God for the opportunity just to do this. God gave me this to do, and so I'm going to keep on doing it. He always tells us that not to despise the days of small beginnings, but just to keep on going and doing his will. And I pray that this broadcast reaches those that need it, those that need to hear a word from God. So we've been talking about watching what you say and being careful about, what we do and what we say over our lives, over the lives of our children and our people and those that are in our lives, our friends, family, and those everybody. So we've been talking about that, and we've been talking about the negative side of it and how the negative speaking, what the consequences of that is, and then also, you know, the different tongues that kind of the different uses that the untamed tongue has. You know, like when we speak out sometimes out of bitterness, and we speak, out of anger, and out of accusing somebody, or boasting, or bragging, or a divisive tongue, or doubting tongue, evil tongue, flattering, gossiping, heartless, impatient, impetuous, you know, judgmental, manipulating, meddling, negative, resentful, self-depreciating, self-hate, selfishness, slandering, confused, cursing, dead, demeaning, all of those things. And the Bible tells us clearly over in Proverbs 18 and 21 that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so we have to really be careful how we use our mouth, what we're saying about others, what we're saying about ourselves, what we're saying about our circumstances. I say so many times, if you need healing, then find you some healing scriptures. If you need finances, find you some scriptures pertaining to finances. Now, we have our part to do. I always tell people, you know, if you're gonna ask God for healing, like if you're diabetic and you're going to ask God for healing, well, you can't ask for the healing and expect for it to manifest. You're going to keep eating those red velvet cakes and peach cobblers and chocolate chip cookies and all like that. You have a part that you need to do. Some things we need to just let go of and ask God to help us through it. Because I'm a witness that you can live without junk. You can live without it. You can live without Big Mac, large fries. You can live without it. And so you can live without cheeseburgers. You can live without it. And so it's not that we have to have it. It's what we deserve, it's what we want. And so we got to understand that if we want healing, then we have to ask God for the healing, believe that He is going to heal us. But we also, some of us, need to change our ways that we're doing things. And so I've been talking about those types of things and what we've been speaking over our life, over the lives of our children, telling them, oh, you'll never be nothing, you're not going to amount to anything. Those are not the words that we're supposed to be speaking. We're supposed to speak life to situations and not discouragement, not negative stuff. It was the spies, the 10 spies, the 12 spies that went, that was at Kadesh Barnea, that spoke a negative report, caused Israelites not to go into the promised land because of the negative report. And it's amazing how we're so quick to believe the negative report and not the positive report, because two came with a positive report and they didn't believe them. But nevertheless, those were the two that did get to go to the promised land once that old generation had died out, and they were able to go because of what they said and what they believed about their God. And so those are the things that we have to take in consideration. It is about what we say. Our words do have power, and so therefore we have got to be careful about what we say. But there is a sound. There is a sound that reaches heaven, and we're going to talk about that today, because that's the sound that we want to be portraying, that we want to come out of our mouth. That's what we want our tongue to be confessing, that sound from heaven that will reach God and begin to change things in our lives and begin to turn our lives around for the good and not for the bad. God has promised us some things. And if we are believers and if we believe Him, then we shall have what we say. But if we keep speaking, our confession be negative, then we can have that too. And we can prolong our trial because we won't speak in faith and we won't act in faith. And so we got to begin to do those things, because the Bible says if you want your prayer answered, the one thing in Hebrews 6 and 11 says, he that cometh to God must first believe that He is, a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. So those are the things we got to believe about God. If you want something from God, you got to believe Him. You got to trust Him. You got to have faith in Him. And I'm telling you, that whining, that murmuring, that complaining is not going to get you anywhere. All it's going to get you to do is prolong your situation. So if you want to come out of it, you want to be able to, first you need to ask God, Lord, to let you learn what you need to learn so that you can come out of it. And when you come out, you won't go back into it, because if you didn't learn nothing, then you're on your way back into it. But if you get what you're supposed to get out of it, then you won't have to repeat that situation. I always ask God, I say, Lord, let me learn what I need to learn so I won't have to cross this bridge again. That once I go on the other side, that I'm going to stay over there. I won't come back and have this situation again. And I believe there is that type of promise and that kind of life that you can learn from your situation and move forward in it. The next thing is, sometimes we're going through things because God is trying to take us to another level. And when He's trying to take us to another level, all kind of stuff break out. The enemy does not want you to do anything for God. He is not excited about you witnessing for God. He is not excited about you preaching for God. He is not excited about you worshiping or praising God. He don't want any of that to happen. So what He keeps doing is whispering stuff in our ear about that God is not going to do it, or trying to make us feel that, oh, God won't help us, or God is not going to do that. But all of that is a lie. You know, Jesus called Him the Father of lies a long time ago. He said He's the Father of lies. So why do we keep believing His report? I have no idea. But, you know, sometimes it's easier to believe the bad than it is the good, because the good sometimes takes a long time for it to manifest, and the bad is happening right there. But the Bible declares for us over in Romans 8:30, it says all things work together for the good of them that love God and called according to His purpose. And so we got to understand that. So I began to pray this week about this lesson and what God wanted me to say, and He starts bringing me this information about a sound from heaven. And so I began to think about the various times that, you know, that there was a cry made. And because of that cry that was made, God began to move. But the one thing about those things is God had already promised them some things. And even though they were going through great trial and tribulation, the promise didn't change. But what they thought about the promise began to change, because they remembered that God had promised them some things, and then they began to cry out according to that. So if I think about, and I thought about the children of Israel, I always get a good example from them, and I thought about how when Abraham, over in Genesis 15 and 12, and it says, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abraham, this is God talking to him, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And so that was the Lord telling Abraham what was going to happen to his seed, because, you know, he promised him a seed, and it was years before the promised seed came. Now, Ishmael came, and that's because they went on their own and got Ishmael. But the promised seed that was Isaac took Abraham some years after he received the promise. And that's what's happening sometimes. Sometimes we receive the promise. We hear the promise. We hear the promise preached. We read the promise in the Bible. But the time it takes for it to manifest, sometimes we get a little weary in our situation, and then we begin to speak negative. We begin to become depressed. We begin to have all kind of other circumstances and situations happen. But the one thing God said about Abraham, he said, Abraham believed God, and God counted it unto him for righteousness. And that's why I said we have got to believe the report of the Lord and stop believing that stuff that the devil was blowing in your ear. Because at the end of the day, you know, he was blowing a lot of smoke, and they thought it was fire, but when they got over there, it wasn't nothing but smoke. So he can't, the thing about the enemy, he can't snatch you out of God's hand. But what he can try to sway your mind or your thinking about God. And when that happens, you got to say, devil, I believe God. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the circumstance looks like. I don't care what hasn't happened. I know God has a promise for me. And so those are some of the things that we got to consider. And then when I kept going about this same particular story, and then when we get over there to Genesis 46, 3 and 4, and this is when the famine had begun to come in the land, and God said to Abraham once again, he said, I am God, the God of thy fathers. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make thee there a great nation. Now, I want to stop right there just for a minute, because I want us to understand, some of us are going through some things, but in those things that we're going through, God is trying to make us great. If we would just begin to say, you know, God, have your way. We say that, but then when he begins to have his way, we get a little weird because the way ain't what we thought he was going to do. We think he's going to be able to, you know, we're going to be all built up and we're going to do it. We're going to be, you know, high and lifted up and rejoicing and everything's going to be high to high and holy ho. But no, that's not what it's going to be. Sometimes when God wants to get greatness out of you, you got to go through some stuff. You got to go through some trial and tribulation. But if we think about it, the way Jesus told us over in John 16 and 33, he says, in him you shall have peace. You might have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer because he has already overcome the world. And so in this situation, they were in a famine situation, and if they would have stayed where they were, they wouldn't have made it out of the famine. But because God had already prepared the situation, he had already sent Joseph ahead of them, and Joseph had already interpreted the dream of the Pharaoh, and he had already begun to put back the fifth part, so that when the famine came, they had more than enough to take care of them through those 7 years of famine because of the 7 years of plenty. And so sometimes we go through a 7 years of plenty, and sometimes we go through a seem like a years and years of famine. But if God is able to take care of you in those years of famine, you just got to learn how to trust him. You got to learn how to believe him. You got to learn how to speak his word, rejoice, praise, and give him the glory, give him the honor that's due him, no matter what the situation is like. You got to rejoice in the tribulation. Don't be going being sad about the tribulation, but rejoice in the tribulation. I think it's over there. I know it's Romans 5, but I think even in the 2 Peter, that first chapter where it talks about the jobs of all those things, tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and all of those different types of things. So all of those things have a job to do, and they do that job to make you a better person, to make you more usable for God's kingdom. And that's what we all want to do. If you are a woman of faith or a man of faith, you want to be used in God's kingdom. That's what you want. So if you got to do, if you want to be used, you got to go through stuff. If you want to be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meek for His use, you're going to have to go through some things. And so those are the things we got to understand. It ain't a trial and tribulation ain't designed to kill you. It is designed to make you. And it don't feel good. You don't like it, but it is good for you. That's what I'm telling you. It's good for you. It's like that stuff they used to give us back in the day. What was the castor oil and all that? It wasn't good, but it was good for the purpose that it needed to be used for. And so, therefore, we had to take it and all that different stuff they used to give us back in the day. It wasn't good, but it was good for us. Just like I was sitting in the line today somewhere, and the girl was talking about that apple cider vinegar. And I done tried that apple cider vinegar. I mean, I think it's horrible tasting. But evidently, the benefits of it far outweigh the taste of it. And so if you can endure the taste, you can get to the benefits of it. Same thing with trial and tribulation. If you can endure the trial and tribulation, you can get to the blessings that come behind it. And so what I want you to understand is that the thing we got that even the Israel, I mean, that they didn't have, we got Jesus Christ. He's already, he said, be of good cheer, I've already overcome it. So if he's already overcome the world, that means we're overcoming. If we're in Christ, that means we're overcoming. So we done overcame the thing. We have already, and so the Bible says, let me go on with my story because I got to get to this. Anyway, because there's a sound that came from them that caused God to move. And that's what I want you to understand today. There's a sound deep down on the inside of you that will cause God to move. It's an inward faith that you have that will manifest an outward faith that will cause God to move on your behalf. But you got to get to that place. You got to stop letting the stuff, the circumstances, and situations keep you from what God has really for you. He's made you a promise. And so let's go back to this. And so in Genesis 46:3, he said, and fear not to go down into Egypt. So remember in 15, he told them that he was going to be going to a place, a land where they were going to be strangers. And in that land, they were going to be in bondage for 400 years. That's what he had already told Abraham. Of course, here is Abraham's dead now. And so this is Jacob. Now we're talking about Jacob. And so he told Jacob, fear not, go down into Egypt. I will make thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph will put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, you know, so he went down there. He went down there, and they were there, and Joseph was there, and everything was good. They reconciled. All these things happened, and then they began to die off. And so a promise, I'm talking about a promise that produced a sound, and a sound of belief, of faith, of inward faith, and that produced an outward manifestation. Faith without works is dead, being alone. The sound that causes manifestation, but faith is also the sound that comes out of us that causes the manifestation to happen. That's what I want us to know. And so let's look at Joseph when he got ready to die in the 50th chapter of Genesis. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. He said, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land. Now, God had already promised Abraham that he was going to visit him and that he was going to bring him out. And so he told Jacob, don't fear going down there because I'm going to bring you out. And so anyway, here he said, Joseph is telling him, he said, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto a land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now remember, we're Abraham's seed. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. That's what he said. He was prophesying their deliverance some 400 years before the time. And so with that being said, so then, you know, the things started to happen. The Israelites began to multiply. And they multiplied so great that the king got a little, he got scared, or the Pharaoh got scared. And so then he began to say, these people are going to side with our enemies and come against us. So they began to afflict them. Sometimes we have begun to be afflicted in our circumstance, in our situation. But I'm here to tell you today, God will surely visit you, and he will surely bring you out of this situation. You've got to trust him. You got to have faith in him. You got to believe God, and you got to begin to speak the sound that comes, that cry out that sound that comes from heaven, that will reach heaven, will cause God to move. Faith is what causes God to move. Your murmuring ain't going to move it. Your complaining ain't going to move it. Your crying, calling everybody, telling them about it on the phone. Oh, I'm going through this. That ain't going to move God. But your faith in him will move God. So if you want the situation to change, if you want things to turn around and be different, then you're going to have to get to, you're going to have to get you some faith. You're going to have to start trusting in him. If you got a pile of bills and you ain't got enough money, lay them out before and tell him, say, now, Lord, you are my provider. You said that you would provide for me. You said that you would meet my needs would be met according to your riches and glory. This is what you told me. Lay them out before the Lord and let him do it. That's what we got to do. We got to stop worrying, stop murmuring, stop complaining, and trust in our God. And when you ask God to do these things for you, get up in the surety. Don't pray amiss. Don't pray and then start worrying about it again. Don't do that. Pray and believe God is going to change some things in your life. You have a promise. He is a promise keeper. He will produce the promise if you allow. So anyway, so let's go back to this. So here we go, some years later. This has been almost 400 years and went past. And here Israel is in bondage to Egypt. Been in bondage some 400 years. They've been afflicted. They've been beaten. All of these things have been going on. And finally, they remember the promise. But the thing I want to talk about for that promise, just for a second or two, what God had done was the people had reiterated the goodness of God down through the years. They had been telling each other about the goodness of God, what God was going to do to them. They kept assuring themselves. Joseph said that he's going to visit us and he's going to bring us out of this situation. Next generation came. Joseph said that God is going to visit us. He's going to bring us out of this situation. Next generation, on the generation to generation, God is going to visit. He said he's going to bring us out of this situation. And when we come out, we're going to carry his bones with us. He's going to be free. We're going to all be free. God is going to do it. God's going to do it. They kept reiterating that sound from one generation to the next generation. So here we come to this generation. And this is what Exodus 2:23-25 says. It said, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Now, when they began to cry, that cry went up to heaven. And God remembered the promise that he had made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, the one that Joseph had told him about, the one that the generations on and on kept telling them about. Finally, they said, you know what? God made us a promise. We need to talk to God about that promise. And so they began to cry unto God. God had already put the plan in place. When Moses was born, they were killing the babies back then. And remember, his mother put him in that bull, made that little bull rush boat for him and sent him down the river because he was supposed to be saved. And God saved him alive. And remember, Pharaoh's sister found him and raised him up in Egypt. And then Moses understood that he was the one, that he was a Hebrew, and he wanted to go be with his people. And then he killed one of the Egyptians, and then he had to flee because Pharaoh was after him. And he went down into Midian, and that's where he met Zipporah and met Jethro and all of them. And that's where God began to show him his next phase of his life. Now, at this time, Moses was 80 years old because he was 40 when he was in Egypt, and then he was 80 down here when Moses went. And then, so he was 80 when he got ready to go back to Egypt to help to deliver the people. But God made a promise. And what I want you to understand, I'm talking about this sound that is being made, because God is making this promise to us, and because God has made a promise to us, we can cry out to God. There's a sound that we can make that'll call to heaven to move. Now, if I would think about this, I think about Joshua. Joshua over in the 6th chapter, and how Joshua was crossing over to the promised land, and they came up against Jericho. And then God told them, no, don't get no weapons. We're not fighting with weapons this time. I want you to march around that city. And they did exactly what God had said. But then in that sixth chapter, in the 20th verse, after they had marched around 6 days one time, and in the seventh day they marched around seven more times, because eventually they went around 13 times. But then God said, this is what he told them. He said, so the people, and then this is what he told them what to do. And so the 16:20 says, so the people shouted. And when the priest blew with the trumpet, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went on into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It was a sound that came, a sound of praise, a sound of trust, a sound of faith that God was going to do it. They couldn't bring that wall down on there. That wall was 20-some feet high, 24 feet wide. So it was a big structure. But the praises of the people, that sound that God told them to make, made the wall come tumbling down. And so what I'm saying, there is power in your praise. Let your words be that of praise and that of thanksgiving and that of worship. Let them be of that. Let them be of what the word has to say about it. Speak the promises of God over your life and over your situation. If you do that, I'm telling you, God will begin to move in your circumstance and your situation. I don't have no doubt about that. And if we come over here to that New Testament and we're still talking about that sound that we should be coming out of us instead of that untamed tongue, the tamed tongue sound that will be coupled with the Holy Ghost that will cause us to make the right sound, that's the sound that we want to make so that it will get to heaven and God will begin to move things on your behalf. Now, if we think about Acts 16:23, now this is when Paul and Silas were put into prison. They had been, they had healed, they had cast out the evil spirit, the spirit out of the woman, and a spirit of divination out of the woman, and they got a hold of them, and they beat them, and they laid on many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison. And they commanded the jailer to keep them secure, because they didn't want them to get out. You know, they didn't want them to get out. But having received such a charge, the jailer put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. This is what I'm saying. There is a sound you can make that can come and reach heaven, that God will cause an earthquake to happen. He'll cause whatever you need to happen to set you free. Does anybody on the broadcast have anything they want to say about anything I've said thus far? If not, I'm going to keep right on going. So yet, in spite of the throbbing pain, in spite of what they were going through, like I said, they had been beaten with many stripes. All this stuff was going on. Instead of being there licking their wounds and crying, telling my Lord, why is this happening to me? I was doing your will. I was casting the devil out of the woman. I don't understand. I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm doing your word. I'm doing the work of the ministry. I'm doing all these things. Instead of them doing that, they begin to sing a song. They begin to sing songs and pray. And then God shook the prison and set them free. That's what I'm saying. If you want God to move, there's a sound that should come out of our mouth that will be that sound that pleases God. What does Psalm 19:14 say? He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We got to get to that sound of faith, that sound that comes from us within us that will bring things, change things in our life, that we won't have to keep going through the suffering that we're going through. Now, we got to learn from it. I'm telling y'all what to begin to pray. Ask God as you're going through, Lord, let me learn what I need to learn from this situation so I will not cross this bridge again. That I will, when I get free, I will be free. That we won't be like them Israelites when they got free. They got over there in the wilderness and messed themselves up because they went back to a negative situation. They longed for the leeks and onions. All the miracles that they had seen happen, and still they were going back and forth in their emotions and in their mind about whether I want to stay in Egypt. Or, Lord, ain't gonna do it. Or, oh, Lord, then why can't we eat this? Or why can't we do this? All the things they were murmuring and complaining about. Don't be a murmur and don't be a complainer. Be a worshiper. If you want to be something, ask God to teach you how to be a worshiper. Praise God in your tribulation. Thank God for the situation you're going through. Ask God for you to gain the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding about why what it is you're going through so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. Your trial and tribulation ain't for naught. It's for you to be a blessing to somebody else. It's for you to tell somebody else how to come through. It's for you to tell somebody else how to get where God wants you to do. Get to, I'm telling you, it's a sound. What did he say over there? I think it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Well, he said, if my people would call by that or call by none my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven. And then he would forgive their sins and forgive their land. And I might have said a little wrong, but anyway, that's the gist of it. It's a sound that you can make out of your mouth. Instead of your confession snaring you, let your confession free you. That's what I want you to learn today. Let your confession free you. Let it be a sound that comes out of you that will bless you to get to the next place in God, that will set you free and that will deliver you and cause you to be the man and woman of God that he has already created you to be, the one that he's already gifted, the one that he wants to use for his glory. But he can't use you. If you ain't got no test, you can't have no testimony. And the Bible over in Revelation, where is it at? Revelation is 12 and 11, it says, and they overcame him, I'm talking about the wicked one, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We can't do any of it without Christ. Anything you're trying to do, you can't do it without Christ. The Bible tells over in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But if you're trying to do it without Christ, you're trying to be the one saying, well, I did this and I did that. Mm-mm, you ain't did it. It's God. It's God and God alone. He just lets you be a participant. That's what I always say. He just let me participate. But he's blessing me, but he's the one that's doing the thing. So I want you to be encouraged today, and I'm going to keep on going because I want to get all of this done if I can. I still got some time, but I want to make sure that I give an invitation to Christ because I like to do that and tell people to go to find them a good church. I don't want nobody's soul to be lost. If we could have invited them in, that's what we want to do. But anyway, when Paul and Silas was in the jail, I want to go back to that, it talks about that, how that praise, that sound came from them, and how that praise elevates us into God's presence and power. If we want to make a sound, we want to talk about something, if we want to be talking about it, speaking about something, let it be praise and worship and those and thanksgiving, because that is what will bring us into the presence and the power of God. And that is when our lives can be changed. Our things we're going through can be different. I don't care what it is. I'm just a firm believer that God can do anything. He asked Abraham a question. He said, is there anything too hard for me? And there's nothing too hard for God. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the mortgage company says. I don't care what the job says. I don't care. Nothing is too hard for God. I've been jobless. I've had that. I've got a pink slip before. I've got that. My house has been in foreclosure before. They done came and got my car before. I'm still living in this house, and I'm still riding. So I'm telling you, and I've still got some income coming in. So I'm telling you, God can do it. It might not look like what you think it ought to look like, but I'm telling you, God is keeping me. God is the one that's doing this. It don't have nothing to do with me. I'm just a participant in this situation. But God is giving me a testimony. I say all the time, well, I'm going through some things because I need to go through them to change my life, to change some things and get myself in perspective in obedience with God. Because I remember Elder Harrison always tells, obedience unlocks the blessing. If you want to unlock your blessing, you got to be obedient. And then if you want to see the manifestation of it, you got to have faith. So what I'm telling you is a sound that comes from faith, and you got to have it. The Bible says, like I said before, Hebrews 6:11-6 says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So when they begin to praise God in that jail cell, they begin to send up a sound that calls God to make things happen. We got to, when we come to church on Sunday, Sometimes we come to church, we got all kind of thoughts and stuff going on in our mind, upset about this, upset with somebody, but that ain't how we're supposed to enter in. Psalms 104:4 says we are to enter in his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's how we ought to enter into the house of God, not with all that other foolishness. They done made you mad on the drive-in, and, you know, somebody got on your nerves last night. Oh, I don't know why this is going. That ain't how we're supposed to enter in. We're supposed to enter in spite of our circumstances, in spite of our trial and our tribulation. We need to enter in his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise, and be thankful unto him and bless his name, because he is the only one that can change things in your life. Your brother can't change, your mother can't change, your sister can't change. All they can do is agree with you in prayer. That's all they can do, and stand with you, but they can't change it. Only God can change the hearts and minds of the people. And if you want change to come, if you want change to come in your household, you better bring some prayer and thanksgiving in there. You better bring some praise and some worship in there. You better get the devil out of there. Start worshiping and see him run. Open up the windows. I didn't open up windows and doors. I mean, I was running them out of here. I prayed God till I felt the clear. I felt clear. And I felt fine. And I felt the Holy Spirit moving. And so sometimes, you know, take desperate measures. You know, but we got to do what we got to do so that we can make sure that we are in the right place with God and that our speech and what we say is in alignment with what God's word is saying. Don't stop saying what so-and-so said. Stop saying, you know, get in the word for yourself. Make sure you know what the Bible says about your situation. That's why Joshua said, meditate therein day and night so that you can observe to do all according to all that is written therein. If you want to live right, if you want to do what's right, get in the word of God. If you got deliverance, you need God to move, then begin to get in the word of God so that the word of God will be able to lead, be able to give you the guidance you need, and you will be able to, you know, you'll be able to begin to move. Is anybody on the line that has anything they want to add? Not, I'm going to keep on going. So then the next thing I was thinking about when Jesus came along and he told us, he said, Jesus said one thing that he said, he talked about when there was two or three gathered in his name, there he would be in the midst of them. So God will be in the midst of us if we get in the right place with him. And so that is the thing it is. And for those that even don't know, Lord, the Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, confession, one more thing, something is coming out of our mouth, that we shall be saved. So we can get into the presence of God through our confession of Christ. And so those are the things we want you to know. Psalms 119:1 tells us, blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied, are the undefiled, the upright, truly sincere, and blameless. This is the Amplified Classic Version. In the way of the revealed will of God, who walk, order their conduct and conversation. I want to get to that word right there, conversation. In the law of the Lord, the whole of God's revealed will. So we got to make sure that even though we might be going through some trials and tribulations, it might be some difficult times for you. Some people have lost loved ones, so they're grieving. Some people are just having off. They got the threat of a job loss looming over them. They, you know, they got some conditions going on in their body, in their mind, in their emotions. You know, husbands leaving, wives leaving. You know, all kind of children doing all kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Let the Lord order your steps. Let the Lord bring the promises that he has made us to pass. He has not forgotten about you. He has not forgotten about you. Even though you seem like it seem like you've forgotten, he's not forgotten about you. Remember what the word of God said. Believe that Ephesians 3:20, where he says he will do exceeding abundantly and above all you can ask or think. Okay, he said he can do above what you can even ask, what you let come out of your mouth, and what you can even think with your mind. So you got to believe God. But my encouragement to you today is to begin to praise God in the situation. Don't keep murmuring and complaining. Don't keep calling so-and-so, telling them all about it, because believe me, they don't want to hear it. They really don't. They might at first sound sincere or give a sincere ear, but eventually they're not going to want to hear it because they're getting tired of hearing it. And so the only one that don't get tired is God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Let your prayer, and when you get down there and pray, don't pray amiss. Believe that you are going to receive what you have asked for so that you can receive with the things that God. And this just ain't about receiving from God. This is also about you going to the next level in God, in ministry, in your life, in what God has for you to do, in your giftings. This is what this is about. It's just not about receiving, you know, financial deliverance or so-and-so deliverance. Those things we go to the Lord is going to give us. And so, but it's also about him preparing you for the next level that he can use you for his glory. And that's what you want. If you are saved and you are a Christian, you want God to use you. I don't care if you don't, then I'm not sure. But if that's who you are, you want God to use you in whatever capacity that he has gifted you and gave you to do. You want to be used for his glory. You want people to be, I want people to be set free and delivered. I want people to be healed. I want people's souls to be saved. So if this broadcast is used for that, then I am thankful. Whoever it reaches, I'm thankful. Whoever has given their life to the God over these last 3 years that we've been on here, I am thankful. Because to God be the glory. It has nothing to do with me. I'm just doing what he has told me to do. I'm going to keep doing that regardless of what anybody says about it, regardless of what anybody has to say. I'm going to do what God tells me to do because that's what I've been called to do. And so I want you to be encouraged today that there is a sound that can come forth out of you that will bring, that will move heaven on your behalf, and that your thing will be turned around. That situation will be turned around. Don't give up. The storm might be raging, but I tell you, Jesus is on the boat with you. And if he's on the boat, he might be seem like he's asleep on the boat. But I'm telling you, he is the one that can rise up and rebuke the winds and the waves. Keep your faith in him. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your conversation aligned with him. And I'm telling you, God is going to bring you to pass in your life. And so you just got to trust him and believe him. You got to trust him and believe him, and you got to speak what the word of God says. And I believe when you begin to cry out to God in prayer because you want this thing to change, begin to tell God what he promised you, just like they did. They begin to cry out, and they begin to tell God what he had promised them because he said that surely he would visit them and surely he would bring them out. And so that promise is to you too. Surely he will visit you and surely he will bring you out. So you got to remember that. Surely he will visit you. Surely he will bring you out. And go on down in prayer and say, Lord, I know you're going to visit me and you're going to bring me out of this situation. And because of that, I can be free, I can be whole, and I can rejoice. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be joyful, be thankful, and continue to praise him always. He's a wonderful God. He's an awesome God. And no matter what it is, I had to come to conclusion because, you know, I got a mouth. And so, you know, at first I was kicking and screaming, and I don't know why, Lord, I'm doing it. I was giving it to him. Oh, yes, I was. I got to be honest. I don't mind telling my foolishness. But I've learned that this thing was not designed to kill me. It was designed to make me. And so I had to begin. First, my mind had to be renewed. I've been in church all my life. I was a little girl, I mean about six or so. I had been going to church all my life, I guess, since a baby. But about six when I just came to the Lord, I went up there and I joined church. And because of that decision that the Lord blessed me to make, my family even came in. So you can change your family, you can change the whole thing. So don't give up. If that one ain't saved yet, don't give up on them. You just keep right on praying, calling their name out to the Lord. I don't care if it looks like they're about to take everything. Keep trusting the God. For those of you that are having house problems and they got to do modification paperwork, I did modification paperwork for about 8 or 9 times. I think eventually I think I'm closer to 10 than I am to 5. You know, I did it so many times. The Lord told me in that situation that was my problem. I was over in the promised land. I was fighting Jericho and all the rest of them. I was coming to get, you know, I was over there. So sometimes you got to do different things to make it through. When they got to the promised land, they just didn't get over and say, hey, we here. You know, hey, and they didn't get to sit down and start drinking no lemonade. They had to fight to secure to get the land. And so it was promised to them, but they had to fight. So sometimes you might have to still roll up your sleeves and do some things in the fight, but God is going to bless you. He's going to bring it to pass. Tell God what it is you want and believe that the promises of God are for you. And I'm telling you, that sound that you can make that will come in, that come out of that inward faith will manifest an outward faith experience. And so I believe that just like those children of Israel, they over in Numbers, was it? I want to repeat it because I got people coming on. Over in Numbers 2:23-25, they made that cry because of the promise that they had been hearing about for years. You're talking about 400 years of telling each other, telling one generation after the other generation, God will surely visit you and he will bring you out. And surely when he did bring them out, they carried them bones out. That's how I knew that they had been talking about that over the 400 years of that bondage. They had been talking about it because they did exactly what Joseph asked them to do. And that was some 400 years later. So I'm telling you, your children and your children's children, begin to speak the word of God into their lives. Begin to tell the generation about God. Begin to tell them how wonderful he is and how they should praise him, how they should thank him. And because they know, they may not know not one scripture, but they know everything that young, all these other folks are saying, all the rap songs, all that stuff. They know all of that. But let them know what the word of God said. Let that be the primary conversation at the dinner table about the word of God and not about, you know, they got on my nerves at work today. And so, don't let that be the conversation. Let the conversation at the dinner table or while they're around, let that be the sound that they hear is the word of God, how wonderful God is, how awesome he is, how much he will bless them, how it is he that has gifted them. Tell them those kind of situations. Let that be reiterated from generation to generation, and you will begin to see that he will surely visit you, and he will surely bring you out. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say? Okay, well, we're getting ready to come to, we got 13 minutes left, and so we're going to begin to wind down. I want to thank everybody. Before I do all that, I want to ask, is there anybody out there that does not know the Lord in the pardon of their sins? This is an opportunity. I know some of you were at church and you gave your life to the Lord this morning. Some of you wanted to go, but you didn't go. Here's another opportunity God is blessing you to take part in. The Bible tells us over in Romans 10:9-10, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So if you would just repeat this with me, for all of those that need to give your life to the Lord today, Father, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner, and I give my life, I repent of my sins today, and I believe, God, that Jesus Christ, that you raised him from the dead, and Lord, I believe that the Lord is my Savior, and so, Lord, save me today, Lord, set me free today, and fill me with the Holy Ghost so that I can be sealed with the promise. If you pray, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer that you are saved. And I believe if you prayed it and with your heart into it, I believe that you are saved. And I admonish you to find you a Bible-believing teaching church, one where you can be taught the word of God, and you can begin to get to know God better, and they will teach you and they will help you in this journey of salvation, and that you can begin to walk with God and begin to see what we're talking about when we're talking about standing on a firm foundation. The Bible tells you when you've done all the stand, you can stand there for. You can only do that if you got Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And like I said earlier, in him you shall have peace. You can have peace when you're in Christ. When you're outside of his will, you don't have no peace. But in him, you can have peace. So I thank everybody today for logging on, those that logged on, those that called in, those that will listen later, and those that have listened to us on the Facebook Live. I'm going to ask, I don't know who's all on the line, but I'm going to ask if one of them will begin to have something to say first. They've all been on here silent. If they have a little bit to say, and then pray us out. Somebody will do that for me, please. They try to get them phones off of mute. Well, if not, I'm going to go on, because we can't keep waiting. But anyway,
amen.
I thank God. Hello.
Amen.
Okay, somebody's here.
Amen. Amen. This is Phyllis. And I wanted to say what little bit I did here. I'm sorry I got out here so late, but I thank the Lord for your testimony about persevering and how God will bless you and he will bring you out if you persevere. And I appreciate that, and that was a wonderful thing for me to come in on. I really needed that, and I thank you. And
thank
I would like
Lord.
To pray this evening for this ministry and for everyone that listened and who will listen. In Jesus' name, I pray that you bless everyone. Dear God, I pray that the word will come alive in us, dear God. Lord, help us to be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Dear God, I pray that you bless everyone that's involved in this ministry. I pray that you bless their going in and their coming out. Dear God, I pray that you bless their homes, and I pray that you keep your ministering angels around about them and protect them. In the name of Jesus, I pray for Denise Bryson. I thank you for her tenacity. I thank you for her perseverance. I thank you for her love for the Lord. Dear God, I pray now that you will bless her, and I pray you open up a window from heaven. I pray that you guide her steps and lead her, dear God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us all to remember, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Dear God, I pray you bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, and I bless your name.
Amen and amen. We thank Sister Dotson for praying, and we thank God for her words of encouragement. We thank the Lord for that. And for all of you that, like I said, that had logged in, called in, and those that will listen later, and even those that were on Facebook, thank you so much for joining us. This has been the Prospering Souls broadcast, and we will be back here on next week. I think we might do a wrap-up or one more session Watch What You Say, and then Elder Dotson is going to be coming and teaching us about consecration. I'm so thankful to be finished and somebody else coming on the line. So anyway, and we'll have him on Facebook Live. We'll work that out so you can see him. Awesome teachers, and we got some awesome people that will be coming along. Everybody's got their dates, and some people have their topics, and so they're going to be preparing themselves. And so we are just so thankful. I thank God for all of you that joined in and commented along the way. Thanks so much. It's been a blessing just being a part of the broadcast. I'm trying to wait for my 7 minutes, but I think I'm going to have to go on. But anyway, thank you so much. And again, we were talking about, and I'll just kind of recap for a little bit, and then we'll get off the line. We were talking about a sound that reaches heaven is what we were talking about. And we talked about Abraham receiving his promise over in 15 and 6, and then over in 46 and 3, where God told Jacob to go on down into Egypt, and that, you know, that not to be afraid that the Lord would bring them out, and even Joseph, how he told them that the Lord would visit them and surely bring them out, and then even how the Israelites, I got from that they kept reiterating that promise over the 400 years, and then they finally had enough. And they began to cry out to God, and God, their cry went to heaven, and he heard them, and he began to put the deliverance in motion and sent Moses back to them, and then all of those things began to happen, and even how when Joshua went over to the promised land and at the first battle was Jericho, and how the sound that they made was a sound of praise, a shout, and how God brought the walls down, and that if you want things to change in your life, that the sound and that tamed tongue needs to come out, that the Holy Ghost to contain it, not that untamed tongue that brings out bitterness and fear and doubt and anger and all those other attributes that it can come, the works of the flesh, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes, those things that can come from that, unforgiveness and things. But we want to make a sound that changes things, that God, when Paul and Silas was in the jail, they begin to make a sound that caused the earthquake, that caused them to be set free. And so those are the things we want to do. God bless you so much. We thank God for each and every one of you. See Elder Harrison on the phone. I was telling them about obedience and locking the door. And I told them about that. She always tells us that on our prayer call. But we're so thankful. But there is a sound that can come out of you, a sound of faith that can come forth out of your mouth that will cause God to hear you in heaven and begin to change things in your life. God bless each and every one of you. We're going to just close. We've already said our closing prayer. So God bless you, and we will see you back here next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast. God bless each and every one of you.
Good night.
Good night.